Hello, and welcome to another episode of Meeples and Mishaps, the podcast where we talk about crazy, zany, weird board games. Sometimes they don't make any sense at all. Sometimes they're offensive, but we talk about them because we love board games. My name's Kalen, and I am joined today with my co-host Corey, and we are talking about the sinking of the Titanic game.
Yeah, The Sinking of the Titanic is a game that came out in 1975, and it was published by Ideal and later picked up by Milton Bradley. This game is a roll and movement type game as well, and as you guessed it by the name, it is about the Titanic.
Yeah, so let's look at the box. The cover of the box is you've got the Titanic in the background, which I guess... if you don't know what the Titanic is, firstly, I'm a little surprised, but the Titanic was a very famous ship that went down in the Atlantic Ocean. It hit a iceberg that, you know, as we now all know, icebergs are bigger underneath the water than they are above the water. And so they hit this iceberg, ruptured their hull, went down, tons and tons and tons of people did not make it. But in this game, the goal is to make it, to get onto the lifeboats and to get off to the rescue ship, and so that you can make it back home. And we'll go into a little more of the details of how you play the game and then, of course, the history. But just looking at the box, you've got the ship that's going down in the background. You've got the rescue ship off to the side. You've got this... lifeboat with, oh man, I don't know, 20 people on it, all trying to, two people are trying to rescue somebody that's in the water, and then everybody else is trying to row and get away from the ship. And then, of course, it says at the bottom, the game you play as the ship goes down, then face the peril of the open sea. And I think that pretty well describes this game. They definitely took some liberties to the story, I don't know, they made a pretty interesting game out of it.
And by interesting, we mean controversial. that's the reason why we picked this game today is because kind of how we had an episode in the past about the basically the subway vigilante and how that was wrapped up in controversy, taking a real life situation and capitalizing off of that, making money off of a tragedy. And in this case, this is a big tragedy with the sinking of the Titanic in 1912, and I believe it was like 1500 was the number of people that died on the ship, and so it was a big tragedy. And once again, someone had the crazy idea of, hey, let's make a board game about a horrific tragedy and make some money off of it. And that's when Ideal, the publisher company, came in and said, it's our chance to make some money. Now, yeah. With that being said, it's not that bad of a game.
Yeah, I'd say it's actually a pretty decent game based on gameplay. It's got some really unique mechanics, and it never kicks you out of the game. You can keep playing until somebody wins. So even if you're, you know, in very, very last place, like you can still somehow find a way to win, even though it's unlikely. But it is interesting that they didn't just pick... well, they did eventually, but we'll get to that. They didn't just pick a random ship sinking. It's like, no, we specifically have picked the Titanic because it's this Titanic story that everybody knows. They are definitely trying to build off of the hype and the news and the story of the Titanic. But, I mean, at the same time, like, this is also a colossal story. You know, nothing quite like this had really happened and like this. And so, yeah, it was absolutely tragic, but it was also kind of like world shattering. People didn't really think that this kind of things would happen. And this ship was specifically marketed and advertised as being unsinkable. And so, of course, when it goes down, it was a huge deal.
Yeah, this is one of those events in history that doesn't just affect one part of the world. I mean, it's something that gets known across the whole world. It's in history books. It's, you know, a big event because it's surrounded by tragedy. And yeah, this ship that was supposed to be unsinkable met its match in a very devastating way. And, you know, when things like this happen in history, there's always different ways that we remember these things, whether it be through textbooks or days of remembrance or, you know, holidays, or in this case, a board game. You know, it was a big event. And so, yeah, why not? Why that their thought was, why not capitalize on it?
Yeah. And now, to be fair, not that I'm downplaying any of this, because like we just said, yeah, this is absolutely tragic. But there's plenty of board games about, you know, the feudal period of Japan or the romance period of China or World War One or World War Two, and people love those games. I mean, there's an absolute ton of them, and they're fantastic. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of them are really good. And those were all super tragic events. But I think it's obviously, if you knew someone in there, like if you knew somebody who was in the moment, so like if you had a grandfather who died in World War II, it's like, well, maybe you don't want to play that game. Maybe you don't necessarily find that offensive, but you know, maybe it does hit home a little more. And I think that's kind of where we're at with this game. Is yes, they're trying to capitalize on this terrible event. But at the same time, it's really kind of a historical game as well, where we're talking about these, you know, this real life event, and the goal of the game is to survive. I mean, obviously, if the goal of the game was like, oh, everybody drowns, that would be a whole lot worse.
Yeah, that would just be like just rubbing it in the face of the families of the survivors. If it's like, this game is to see who drowns the fastest or something, just nonsense like that.
Yeah. Last person alive wins.
Yeah. That would be too much. Now, one thing about this game is, yes, it is based on the Titanic. And you know, the tragedy that surrounded that, but it was also loosely based on it. So, in this game, you have people you are trying to, so basically your ship is sinking in this game, and you have people you're trying to rescue and get off the boat, get to the lifeboats, get to the rescue ship. But when the ship goes down, you find yourselves in a tropical climate and island hopping in the water. That's kind of a weird part of this game. 'Cause as far as I know, the Titanic did not crash in a tropic climate. It was very correct. Far north.
Yeah, so we're talking up by Halifax and Newfoundland, which is, you know, kind of the southern tip of Canada, northern part of Maine. So yeah, so we're talking way up there. I mean, obviously we just said it hit an iceberg and sank. I don't think there's any tropical islands anywhere nearby.
No, not at all. So, Ideal, the name of the publishing company, when they designed this game, it did sell a lot. You know, people were really buying into the Titanic because, you know, everyone knows the story. And so they bought this, you know, as maybe kind of thinking it was like a historical game. But when a lot of people started playing it and they realized, you know, it was just talking about surviving, and we'll go into some of the crazy things. Well, I guess we can talk about them now. So whenever you know, it sinks, you have people that die and you lose survivors in this game. You actually island hop in this game, and you draw these weird cards. Some of them say things like, the cannibals are having a beach party. You lose a passenger. I wonder how you lose that passenger. Also this one, card, it says lifeguard does his job, take a passenger. Quicksand is quicker than passenger, you lose a passenger to quicksand. So it's just really weird and out there. But anyway, so when they designed this game and people were buying it thinking it was probably this historic game, and you know, teaching you about this or whatever, a lot of people got really offended, and there was a lot of big outcry about wanting to get this game pulled from the shelves. You know, there were news stories about it, because yeah, it was, you know, controversial. So instead of just ceasing and stopping this game, they actually reskinned it. They kept the same theme of the ship sinking. They made a few tweaks, but it was basically the same game, and they called it Abandoned Ship, which, to me, they should have done that in the first place.
Right. And that brings us to the non-offensive game, Abandoned Ship.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a generic game about a ship sinking.
About a giant ship sinking, yeah. And it's fantastic. It's great.
All right, so that is the sinking of the Titanic as far as a little bit of the history of it. 1975, this game came out. A lot of people are upset. Also something really quick before we get into the gameplay. There was also some stereotypical and racist kind of cards in this game. So you actually draw cards with passengers on them, and there was some pretty, like, very stereotypical racist ways of, like, naming these characters. Like, the Asian character, his name is Long Fong. I mean, come on, guys. You couldn't have just given him, like, a traditional name or something. So there are things like that. So that really didn't help their case with offending people. Yeah.
That was definitely a theme back in the day when all this kind of stuff came out. You can see that through movies and literature and everything all throughout it. But, yeah, it definitely doesn't fly anymore. Unfortunately that they're using those stereotypical names, but unfortunately that, you know, people are so easily offended these days. But yeah, they obviously probably could have done away with some of those. Some of them are funny, but then I think some of them are just kind of intended to be jokes and, you know, a little bit off the mark. Anyways, let's get into gameplay.
All right, so gameplay of The Sinking of the Titanic is actually pretty good. It's actually broken up into two phases. Well, I should say one's pretty good, one is not so good. But there are two phases of this game. There is the phase where you start on the ship. And the second phase is when the ship has sunk and now you're treading water, trying to survive in the water before and waiting for the rescue boat to show up. And once the rescue boat shows up, basically you can make it to the rescue ship and get out of their wind. So the point of this game is to rescue as many survivors as you can, but you really only need two survivors to win. You need two survivors, you need to collect two food to feed your survivors, and you need two water cards also to make sure your survivors are fed and watered. And if you have all those items, you make it to the rescue ship and you win the game. But the way this happens is, on the first phase, you are on the ship and it is level. And you roll, you each start on the start position, you and however many other players are playing. You have two dice. This is, once again, another roll and move type game. You roll the dice and you can move up to that number of spaces. You don't necessarily have to move the full number, just up to it. And on this ship, it is broken into basically like hallways or like levels of the ship. You're going up and down levels, down hallways with certain spaces. And there are these black thin borders along the way that represent the walls and the bulkheads that you cannot pass through unless you roll double numbers. So like two fives, two twos, then you can actually cross through those because I guess you just get superhero strength and you bust through. It's just a way to get places quicker. So on your turn, you will actually flip over one of the passenger cards and it'll tell you where that passenger is in the specific cabin they are staying in. Because throughout the ship, there are numbers that represent the cabins that your passengers are in that you're trying to save. Now, when you roll the dice, you move, you get the first one to get to that number, collects that passenger, and they now have that passenger in their possession. But the thing where this game goes a little crazy on this first part is if you roll a 1 or a 6, the ship starts to sink. The cool thing about this game is it is there's a center point of this game that the ship and everything is attached to, and you actually move the ship a notch to the left, and it brings the front end into the water, and the back end raises up. So the more and more you tilt this, the more the ship actually sinks. So it's actually kind of cool, and the way they made this board modular in that sense is you actually get to see the ship sinking while you play. So you roll one or six, you move it a notch. If you roll double ones, double sixes, or a one and a six, you actually sink it two notches. So this first phase, you want to collect as many passengers as you can. You want to land on the water spaces to collect water, and you want to land on the food spaces to collect food. Once you have and are satisfied with what you have, you can keep doing this and pushing your luck and to hope you don't actually get trapped and sink, because you can be on a space, and if the ship sinks a couple times before it gets to your turn, you're stuck in the water. So you want to collect as much as you can, and then you run to the lifeboats. There are four lifeboats, and you try, or you just, basically it's one per player that's playing. And you, once you collect and you have everything you need, you run to that lifeboat and you sit in the lifeboat and wait until the ship has sunk and hits the water, and then you start the second phase of the game.
So the second phase of the game is in the water, and it's very, very different. It plays different, which is kind of cool in some regards, that it just kind of completely shifts. But then at the same time, it's completely done away with everything that you did in the first half. And you know, you carry over whatever you had, but then now it's almost like a whole new game. So once your lifeboats, if you got to the lifeboat, once it hits the water, you're in your lifeboat. Otherwise, you have to swim to an island to find one of the lifeboats that floats off and lands on an island. And so now you're rolling your two dice still, but now one of the dice only allows you to move horizontal, and the other dice only allows you to move vertical. And you get to decide, you know, if you roll a four and a three and you want to move up four, you can, and you want to move right three, you can, or vice versa. Now, if you happen to roll a one while you're in the lifeboat, you do draw a sea adventure card. Now, these cards, as we mentioned earlier, are pretty crazy. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and you really have no idea, like, there's no strategy or anything. It's just pure luck what kind of card you get. But essentially, it's kind of a way to keep you in the game. So let's say you end up getting off the boat. You made it to a lifeboat, but you have no people, no food, no water. You're pretty much out of luck at this point. You roll a one, you draw a C card. Hey, you found a passenger who is swimming. So you pull them onto your lifeboat. Now you're one person closer to winning, right? So it's definitely a way to keep people engaged and still trying to maneuver around. You can also steal things from players if you end up landing next to them, which is kind of an interesting mechanic. And then the last thing is that you can land on islands. If you move onto an island with one of your dice, then you get a island adventure card. And those, again, are just crazy, usually bad. I mean, there's like baboons eat one of your passengers, or you catch a bird so you get food. I mean, they're just absolutely crazy. But while you're doing this, the ship is still sinking. And it's not until the ship has completely made its entire round. So it started horizontal, it went vertical, and now it's horizontal again, but upside down. So it's actually below the sea portion of the game, which is kind of cool. Like, it completely goes away. And in its place, a rescue boat shows up on the far side of the board. So once you have your two passengers, your two food, and your two water, it's the first person to make it over to the green squares that, you know, represent boarding the rescue ship. And so now the game has moved away from this, I have to go through this maze to get as much stuff as I can and rescue these people and make it to a lifeboat, to essentially just a race through the water, hoping that terrible things don't happen to you. And of course, with any luck-based, you know, roll and move type game, terrible things are going to happen to you, but terrible things are going to happen to everyone. So it kind of evens out. So that's fine.
Yeah. And another thing, this game kind of gets a bummer in the second phase. It's because literally if you enter the water with everything you need, Like, you've got three passengers, three food, three water, and the boat finally hits the water. You're able to get into your lifeboat. Now it just becomes a waiting game, and you're like, okay, I'm set. But now you're just, like, once again, you're at the mercy of the die. If you roll that one, then, hey, you draw a card, and it's like, oh, guess what? You lost water. You roll a one your next turn. Oh, guess what? You lose a food, and so on and so forth. And now you're just literally just floating around in the water waiting for the rescue boat to come, which makes sense. You know, it's thematic. You typically, you're floating around the water waiting for a rescue to happen. But it just gets annoying, and you can also forego your role in the water, but you have to draw a card if you do so, and as we all know, good or bad things happen on those cards. So that's kind of where the second phase gets a little not as fun as the first phase. The first phase is that race, it's that intense, the ship is sinking, you gotta do this fast. You got to make sure you get them before your other players do. So that makes it fun and it's like exciting. And once you get to the second phase, it's just long drawn and boring at that point, because you're like, hey, I'm just going to keep moving around until the ship gets here and just hope I don't roll ones and take my chances that way and hope somebody doesn't land right next to me and steal my food, water, or my passenger. Also, this thing has another thing in the game that I hate. It's where you have to land at the rescue boat by the exact count on the die. So if you're five paces away and you roll a four or you roll a six, sorry, you don't get it. You have to roll that five. And I've never liked games that do that.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what everybody agrees on, is that the first part of the game is super thematic and it's just awesome, and the super creative ship moving mechanic, and then you hit the water and it doesn't make any sense. It's not thematic. I mean, it is in a way, but with the original sinking of the Titanic, it's completely not thematic. With the abandoned ship, sure. Yeah, we can go with that. But and it just kind of becomes monotonous. Like you said, you're just kind of moving around and you're kind of at the mercy of whatever's happening. And sure, you can try and, you know, arrange it where you're trying to steal stuff from other players or whatever, which, I mean, also, I suppose that's kind of thematic too. I don't know why you would ever steal a passenger, but maybe you would steal some food or water if you didn't have any. But regardless, pretty much everybody agrees that once you hit the water, the game sort of just falls off.
Oh, and let's not forget to mention, if you don't get a lifeboat in the first half of the game, and say you collected three passengers, four water, two food, whatever, and you don't get to the lifeboat in time at the first part of the game, and you hit the water without a lifeboat, you lose everything. You don't have, no longer have any passengers, no longer have any food, no longer have any water. You're just stuck in the sea without a lifeboat. So if that happens, you're pretty much guaranteed to lose the game.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those poor mechanics of... there's a lot of games that do this. What was that dungeon game that we played not too long ago?
Yeah, it's just called Dungeon. Yeah, came out in the 70s.
So it's called Dungeon, and it's like, if you happen to die in it, it's like, yeah, you get reborn and you get to keep playing, but at that point, you're so far behind everybody else that...
Yeah, there's
you
no
really
point.
You should just go make yourself a sandwich. it would be a better use of your time. And that's kind of the same mechanic here of like, yes, you can swim to an island, but you only get to roll one die. So you're already like vastly handicapped in doing that. But then, I mean, you've lost everything. So then you're going to have to go through the sea and hit all these islands and just try and collect everything and then beat everybody to the other side of the board. You should just drown.
Yeah, it's not worth it at that point. You just have to really hope everyone rolls ones every turn and draws nothing but bad cards at that point. Yeah. All right. So that's basically, you know, that's gameplay. That's a little history about this game, how it was dropped to controversy, how they decided to change the name. And they still sold a lot of this game when they changed the name. I mean, sales weren't as big because, you know, the Titanic name slapped to it at the beginning helped the sales. when they rebranded the game, not as many sales, but it's still sold enough to keep them going. And Ideal is one of those companies that just pumped out board game after board game. Not necessarily the best games, but they just kept pumping them out. So why don't we get into our final thoughts? I'll go first. So my final thought, seeing the Titanic game, I think from the start they should have just not used the name Titanic and just went with Abandoned Ship to begin with. And I think their sales would have been steady, and it probably would have been a game that lasted a while, because the mechanics are kind of cool, especially the first part of the game. If they could have balanced the second half of the game a little bit better, I think this game would have probably lasted a while, and you know, would probably have a third or fourth edition by now. And speaking of, like, this game, the Sinking of the Titanic game, since it stopped getting printed, like, it's worth a lot of money on eBay, kind of like the whole Dark Tower scenario. Like, you're not going to find this game for less than a couple hundred bucks on eBay. Well, with that being said. And so, yeah, I think they should have just went with Abandoned Ship to begin with. It would have sold a lot more. Gameplay on this was really cool, the first half, not so much the second half. I really wish they could have fixed that to begin with when they made this game, just a little unbalanced there. You know, I would probably go out and buy Abandoned Ship if I can find it, and have that on my shelf, because it, even though the second half isn't the best, it's still a cool concept. It's still a unique game, to kind of keep in your library just to show some of the way they made games back then. And, you know, a lot of those games got pretty innovative with how they used the board, like with the ship sinking. It's a really cool concept of how they make the game do that. And it forces you know to hurry up and move around, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, a little controversial with the name. Probably shouldn't have done it. Staying on the history books now for Ideal. You can't really get away from the bad PR like that. But I mean, I'd give this game a 3 out of 5. You know, personal rating there. It does have some cool concepts, but it's got enough bad to make it not the best game. And that's my final thoughts.
Yeah. So. I think you pretty well hit all the marks. I mean, obviously the movement of the board is fantastic. Being able to watch the ship turn and go horizontal, and then as it flips over, if you're still on the ship and you're just scrambling trying to get to a lifeboat, it's a really, really fantastic mechanic that adds a lot of tension to this kind of maze that's on the ship. So, I mean, absolutely fantastic. But then, yeah, it just completely drops off once you hit the water. And it unfortunately just becomes even more luck-based. I mean, you're still kind of luck-based based on the die on the ship anyways. But not near as much as you are once you hit the water. But yeah, so, you know, the fact that it's based on the Titanic doesn't necessarily bother me. Especially now that we're so far removed from the history. To me, this is just another like World War One or World War Two game, where it's, you know, yeah, it's this horrible, tragic thing, but you know, it's kind of a historical thing too. Like it's almost more historical now, than tragic. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but, you know, we're removed enough from it that we can play a cool game about it and understand that it was terrible at the same time. And so I don't necessarily, this doesn't really bother me any, and I think it's a really cool concept, but yeah, they probably should have just gone with Abandoned Ship to begin with. Obviously using the name Titanic automatically draws people. You know, they would have never been in the news if they had just called it Abandoned Ship. You know, the different, news agencies would have never been like, oh, there's a ship sinking game called Abandoned Ship. You know, everybody should go buy it, or, you know, whatever. Like, no, it's like, because they used the name Titanic, they definitely drew in a lot of people. Probably not as sketchy of people as the Subway Vigilante game did, yeah. But, you know. So, all that being said, I think this game is really cool. I would love... And I just want to say, you heard it here first. I would love to see Restoration Games do this game, because I think they would fix the water portion.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we've got enough understanding of board games and mechanics now with, you know, this many years of board games since this game came out, that you could just keep the top part of the game and then revamp the bottom part of the game and reissue it, and people would love this game. And honestly, you could probably call it Titanic now and nobody would, you know, it wouldn't bother anybody, but you know, do with that what you will, you guys. But yeah, so I would love to see this game get reissued. I'm obviously not going to buy it because, like you said, you know, you can't find an unused or a whole version of this game for cheap, especially the actual Titanic one, because now it's a collector's item. Maybe you might be able to find abandoned ship out there, but. So yeah, so obviously I'm not going to get it, but I would love to have it. So if somebody, you know, didn't want it and just wanted to give it to me, you know, just let me know.
All right, so there you have it. Those are our final thoughts on The Sinking of the Titanic board game by Ideal, published in 1975. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for all the support that you've given us. Don't forget to hit that, you know, ratings button on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you're listening to, and drop however many stars you think we deserve. But as always, I am one of your hosts, Corey, and this is my co-host.
I'm Kalen.
And we'll see you on the next episode.